What up, what up, what up, ladies and gents, boys and girls, you are now tuned in to a brand new episode of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I am your host with the most, the Hood's ESPN, Crystal Street's very own Dre Day. What's up, what's up, what's up? This is episode 319. Episode 319 of Sportsway with Dre Day Podcast. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. This episode here is going to be a mixture of NFL and NBA talk. The divisional round and the playoffs have been taken care of. We are now at the final four mark with the AFC championship game. So, of course, I'm going to recap a little bit from the divisional games and then give my predictions for the AFC and NFC championship games. It's some drama out there in Dallas. And it don't seem like it's the players. It's their family members that's, you know, voicing their opinions. So I'm going to speak on that as well. I'm going to do some NBA talk. It's looking like it's going to be a new hire in Milwaukee. The Milwaukee Bucks have fired, I think his name is Adrian Griffin. I think he was the head coach. And they're going to bring in Doc Rivers, is the rumor. And I definitely have a strong opinion on that. Definitely want to tune in for that. And Kevin Durant made some headlines earlier this week when he said that he feels like he should be in the GOAT conversation. So we got a mixture of NBA and NFL on this bad boy. So why not get straight to it? And with that being said, the NFL divisional round is over and done with. And I must say, I can honestly say that with all four of those games that took place, I honestly think that I won all four of them. I honestly think that I won. Oh, yes. Yes, now that I think about it, I believe I won all four games when it came to my picks. I did pick Baltimore to beat the Texans 34-10. Now, yes, I had Baltimore winning. I didn't think it would be that lopsided of a win. I didn't. You know, but then again, you got to ask yourself this. The Houston Texans, yes, they're a good team. I don't want to sit here and say they're a great team. There's too many people out there labeling shit great when they're actually really good. This Houston Texans team is really good. They're far from great. They got a promising young quarterback, CJ Stroud, right? Who's probably going to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. You got a rookie head coach and D'Amico Ryan, who for all intents purposes is probably going to win Coach of the Year. You go into a hostile environment in Baltimore, and you got humbled a little bit. You put a spanking on Cleveland in the wild card round in your building, which you were supposed to do. You defended the home field. You put a spanking on Cleveland. You now come to Baltimore, and you get humbled. That's basically what happened in this game. They got humbled. Now, C.J. Stroud still did his thing. Unfortunately, he couldn't get no touchdown passes. He couldn't even run the ball. That Ravens defense was suffocating to the point where they only scored 10 points. So, kudos to Baltimore for doing what they were supposed to do. Now, the naysayers can somehow let off of Lamar Jackson, somewhat. But at the end of the day, If he doesn't get to the Super Bowl, the naysayers are still going to say something. They're still going to say something. So he's still 2-3 in the playoffs for his career. And the matchup that we've been wanting to see, him and Mahomes in the playoffs, we are about to get. We are embarking on that right now. But Lamar Jackson did amazing in this game. It took a while for him to wake up and smell the coffee, but better late than never. You know, he really didn't throw well on Saturday. He had 100 yards on the ground. Baltimore did good running the ball regardless, whether it was Hill or Gus Edwards and Lamar Jackson. So all three of them did good. I mean, Dalvin Cook, who just came to the team after being with the Jets, I mean, he had about 8 carries for 23 yards. Little to nothing, but hey, he got active on the field. A lot better than what he was doing when he was with the Jets. The Baltimore receiving corps didn't really do much. Probably the only one that really did something was Zay Flowers. Now, we are embarking on the AFC Championship game this weekend. Does Mark Andrews be available for this game? I know they were saying that how he was practicing with the team for this game, but they sat him out. Maybe they sat him out because of the opponent. Maybe they felt, okay, we're not going to need him this game, but we damn sure going to need him for the Chiefs game. So let's sit him out for this game, and hopefully we can get him on the field against the Kansas City Chiefs. So only time is going to tell. But again, the Ravens defense was suffocating. They did what they were supposed to do. They defended the home field. They put a beating on the Texans, as they should have. They showed that they were the much superior team. And now they are off to the AFC Championship game against the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, I watched this game. And again, I picked the Chiefs to win this game. I really did. Now, I know all the talk was, oh, Patrick Mahomes never played a road game, yada, 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 yada. When you are that battle-tested and when you are that great at what he is right now in his career, it don't matter if you don't play any road games. And to be quite honest with you, I'm going to keep it all the way funky. The Kansas City Chiefs, they picked the right time to be on the road. Because just from watching that game, I can honestly say that from the first quarter to the last quarter, this might have been their best offensive game the whole season. Now remember, the Chiefs were struggling in the beginning of the season. They couldn't find their identity. You had receivers dropping passes. Mahomes wasn't Mahomes. All that shit. All of that was put to sleep so far in these two games in the playoffs. It's like they knew when it was time to wake up and smell the coffee, and they're doing it now. Travis Kelce, he did his thing. He had his 2 touchdowns. Unfortunately, you know, with him getting touchdowns, we got to see Taylor Swift. I'm about tired of them showing this damn girl every time this man scored a touchdown. I'm just tired of it. We don't need to see her at these games. Okay, if you want to show a little clip of her in a suite, cool. But you don't got to keep showing her every time this man scored a touchdown. Hell, it's to the point where they were showing her even when he didn't get a touchdown. If they got any other touchdown, they showed her. Like, come on, man. This shit is getting ridiculous now. And it's really irking my nerves. But enough of that shit. Again, I honestly think that the Chiefs played their best offensive game all season long this past weekend. I honestly believe that they did. That might have been their best offensive game all season long. But of course, Now, me. You know how people, you know how when people say that the NFL was scripted? There was a time in this game. I had one of those moments. I'm not gonna lie to you. There was a time in this game where I had that moment. When the Chiefs could have put this game away, I think Buffalo had went for a fake punt in the fourth quarter. Now, mind you, they're inside their 30-yard line. They go for a fake punt. Damar Hamlin takes the fake punt. Doesn't convert it. At that particular moment, I was like, oh, this game's over. Because you gave the Chiefs too much field position. They're going to get it in the end zone. Game is over. What happens? Hartman fumbles the ball. I believe at the 1 yard line, the ball rolls in the end zone and then goes out of bounds. Now, obviously, when that happens, it's not a touchdown. It's a touchback. Now, had that not happened, the Chiefs could have won the game. The Chiefs could have won the game just off that shit. But what happened? Buffalo gets the ball. And at that moment, I'm like, yeah, this shit is script. At that particular moment, I'm saying to myself, yeah, this shit is script. Buffalo's going to go down the field, probably kick a field goal, and then this game goes into overtime, and whatever happens from there, happens from there. That was my moment where I was like, yeah, this shit is script. Well, guess what? Part of it went right, because Buffalo did get down the field, and they did kick a field goal, but unfortunately, the field goal was no good. Now, I know the kicker is getting a lot of flack for missing that kick. And I ain't gonna lie, I was one of them giving him that flack. Because I'm like, yo, my dude, you a kicker. That's all you do is kick the ball. Your job should be dumb easy. But then here we go with the Josh Allen apologists out there. You got plenty of them out there defending this man. How many times, especially this season, how many games did we see him either underthrow a receiver or overthrow a receiver? Hell, he just did one recently against the Eagles where he had Davis in the end zone. All you gotta do is throw it to him. Throw it to him. Like, really throw it to him. He catches the ball. Game's over. He had Shakur in the end zone, and he underthrew him. Now, had he made that catch, you'd have put yourself in a position where Kansas City would have got the ball left, would have got the ball with a little bit of time left, and they would have had to get in the end zone to get a touchdown. It wasn't like y'all where all y'all needed was a field goal. Kansas City would have had to get a touchdown in order to win the game. Stephon Diggs also gets some blame in this too. Because there was a throw that Josh Allen threw to him that he was supposed to catch and he didn't. So it's blame all across the board. Some blame could go to Josh Allen. Some blame could go to Stephon Diggs. And definitely some blame could go to McDermott, who's the Bills coach. But let's get to the grand scheme of things, right? The grand scheme of things. There's two things I take away from this loss. From the Buffalo Bills. Two things. The Chiefs have played the Bills 3 of the last 4 years in the playoffs. The only year they didn't play them was last year, where the Bengals beat them in their house. Other than that, 3 of the 4 years that they have met, Kansas City has won. 2 in Arrowhead, and now 1 in Buffalo. You can make a clear case that the Kansas City Chiefs owns the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs. That's one assessment. Now, the second assessment goes to Josh Allen. Now, remember when everybody was talking about the top quarterbacks in the league? Especially when it came to the AFC side. You had Mahomes. You had Lamar Jackson. You had Joe Burrow. You had Josh Allen. You had, what's the quarterback from the Chargers? Justin Herbert. All these names, right? Justin Herbert, you can eliminate him because he ain't done much yet for him to be in that conversation. Let's just get to the four-headed monster I just mentioned. Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and now Josh Allen. Now, I remember a time there was people out there that really said that Josh Allen was the second best in that class. With his struggles in the playoffs, you can make the case that he is now last in that class. He is now last on that list. Now, of course, you're going to have those people out there and say, wait, he played so great in this game. How can he be last on that list? I don't care about you being great in the game. Yeah, the numbers show that he was great. But let's talk about the specific moments in those games where the team needed you to be great. Now, remember, they have been, I think for the past 2-3 years, they've been trying to crown this rivalry with Mahomes and Josh Allen, the new Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. That's what they've been labeling it, right? Well, guess what? With that rivalry with Brady and Manning, the moments that they needed to be great, they were there. Whether it was Peyton Manning or Brady, when they needed to be great, when they needed those moments to be great, they delivered. This playoffs right here, they needed Josh Allen to be great. He disappeared. Last year in the playoffs, the moment they needed him to be great, it disappeared. So yes, when it comes to those four quarterbacks, Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen, he's last in that class. He's last. It's Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. Those are the four. That's the ranking. That's the ranking. Sorry, but not sorry. Next, we got the Niners and the Packers. Now, listen, man. I don't know what it was with these field goal kickers this past weekend, but a lot of them need to be, their punishment should be kicking field goals in practice when the new season starts. Because the Packers kicker also messed up the Packers' chances of actually doing something. Because late fourth quarter, I think all Green Bay had to do was kick a field goal, and they would have made it, you could make a case, it would have been 24-17, which means the Niners would have had to get in the end zone and get a touchdown. What does the Green Bay kicker do? Miss it. What happens was Christian McCaffrey went right down the field and the 2-minute warning scored a touchdown. So now what you did was you gave your rookie quarterback, Jordan Love, you put all the onus on him to make something happen. Now, I will admit, that throw that he made, well, the throw that he did try to make to that receiver, that was a rookie mistake. Because even I would have known not to throw that pass, because that linebacker from the Niners was all up in his grill. All up in his grill. And then you scrambling. And then you throwing the ball. Off your back foot. Par itself. and throws the interception, and the game was over. But even aside from that, Jordan Love has he's exceeded expectations for his first season. You know, of course, you know, you want to prove the doubters wrong. You want to advance to the NFC Championship game because nobody really gave the Packers a chance to win this game. They did play a good game. They really did. They really played a good game. But again, he exceeded expectations. And he should be very proud of himself this season. Jordan Love. He should be very proud of himself this season. But I tell you what, though. Brock Purdy better have a better game because he didn't play that well this game. He better do a lot better this upcoming weekend against the Lions. He better. Now, Christian McCaffrey, you know he's a stud. Probably the most important player on that Niners team, especially on offense. Deebo got hurt, so hopefully he'll be able to play in the NFC Championship game. But even with him being out, Christian McCaffrey said, don't worry about it. I got this. I got this. I'll hold us down. I'll get us to the promised land. George Kittle did good as well. I don't want to leave him out. But, yep, Green Bay 24, well, Niners 24-21 going into the NFC Championship game against who? The 3-1-3, the Detroit Lions. The Detroit, listen, I'm going to say this again. This is not a typo by any stretch of the imagination. This is not a dream that you are in. This is reality. The Detroit Lions are headed to the NFC Championship game. That is not, we are not living in a dream. That is reality. They beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-23 to advance to the NFC Championship game. Now, Baker Mayfield aside from those two interceptions, Tampa might have won this game had he not turned the ball over twice. Now, that last interception, I don't know what the hell he was throwing. Because, again, I don't know what it is with these quarterbacks. You got the linebacker trailing you. It's like the linebacker was basically spying on you and was waiting for you to throw the ball so he could catch the interception. And that's what sealed the game for the Lions. Mike Evans went to work on that Lions defensive back. That Lions secondary. It was to the point where I thought, I mean, there were some catches that he wasn't catching. He might have had almost 200 yards receiving. Jared Goff, man. Jared Goff. I'm very proud of Jared Goff. Very proud of him. St. Brown, very proud of him. I am very proud of this Lions football team. Very much. Now, I know my prediction was Niners-Eagles in the NFC Championship game. Now, obviously, I was wrong with that, but I did get the Niners part right. With the Lions being in the playoffs and in the AFC Championship game, yes, I have the Niners beating them. So now we can just segue into my championship game predictions. Yes, I have the Lions losing to the Niners. I honestly believe that Brock Purdy will have a better game. I think Christian McCaffrey will get in the end zone probably once or twice in this game. I think George Kittle will have himself a good game. I honestly think it's overkill if Deebo plays. If Deebo plays, I just think it's overkill at that point. The Lions are not going to go out Quietly, though. They're not. They're going to make this a game. Trust and believe. They're going to. With Dan Campbell as your coach, and the way he fires up that team, if the Niners was to win this game, it won't be easy, but they will get it done, though. That Lions team will see to it that they fight to the very end. But I'm not going to lie to you. Yes, I'm picking the Niners. But a part of me wants Detroit to win. Because, listen, I'm 38 years old. I've never seen the Detroit Lions in this situation. I've never seen them in the Super Bowl, let alone an NFC championship game. Think about this for a minute. We are in the year 2024. The last time the Cowboys was in the NFC championship game was 1995. The Detroit Lions made it there before they did. Think about that. That's wild. That's wild. You understand what I'm saying? That's just crazy and hilarious to me, if we're being honest. So, yes, I got the Niners beating the Lions, but I'm not going to lie to you. There's a little part of me that wants the Lions to pull the upset. I really do. And then we get to the AFC side. We got the Chiefs and we got the Ravens. Listen, before the season started, you can go into the archives and check the prediction episode before the season started. I said the Chiefs and the Ravens will meet in the AFC Championship game. My only thing was I didn't know if it would be in Arrowhead or it would be in Baltimore, but they would meet in the AFC Championship game. I called it. I said this would be Lamar Jackson's year, and I also said he would win MVP. It's looking like I'm about to be 2-for-2. But I did say the Chiefs were going to win. So me, I don't hedge my picks. I stick with them. So with that being said, I am going to stick with the Chiefs winning this game. But I am not going to hold you. A part of me, a big part of me, wants to see Lamar Jackson get his flowers and beat the Chiefs. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to lie to you. And then on top of that, if Lamar Jackson could do that, we don't have to worry about seeing Taylor Swift at the damn Super Bowl. Because guess what? If they're showing her at this capacity, just imagine how much they'll show her at the Super Bowl. Because best believe, she'll be in Vegas for that. Best believe she will. And we're tired of seeing her. We just are. And I know for a fact I am. But I honestly think that the key to this game is going to be, because we know Mahomes is going to be able to get the ball to Kelce. We do know Mahomes is going to be able to get the ball to Pacheco. We do know that MVS is probably going to be a factor somewhere in this game. The question is going to be, can the Chiefs run the ball on this Ravens defense? I think that's going to be the key. I think that's going to be the key. And then for the Ravens, their playmakers, are they going to be able to do some shit? Because we know Lamar is going to be able to do his. Is Odell going to be awake? Is Zay Flowers going to be awake? Does Mark Andrews come back? I think that's going to be the key for the Ravens in this game. But I honestly, again, listen, I picked the Chiefs to win, so I'm not hedging my pick. I'm sticking with the Chiefs. But again, a big part of me wants the Ravens to win this game. I'm not going to hold you. So, that was my championship game prediction. Predictions. I got the Chiefs beating the Ravens. And I have the Niners beating the Lions. There you have it. Now, let's get to the drama in Dallas. Your family could get you in trouble, man. Your family can get you into some trouble. And now you have CeeDee Lamb's mom and Michael Parsons' brother talking shit about Dak. To the point where they've gone to social media. CeeDee Lamb's mom, Letta Ramirez, Dak isn't it. That's what she posted on social media. That's what she posted on social media. Michael Parsons' brother went on a tirade. Take $40 million or pack your bags about Dak Prescott. Now, see, here's the thing. When a family member says some shit like this to a said player, you're automatically going to think that they're getting this information from somebody else. Whether it's true or not, listen, everybody has opinions. Now, CeeDee Lamb's mother could really feel this way. She really could. But with her posting this, that's going to have people in the Cowboys, you know, organization thinking, hey, maybe CeeDee Lamb talking about Dak behind his back. The same thing could be said about Michael Parsons. His brother was talking to Jin Yang. But see, here's my issue with this. And I'm going to keep it all the way 100. When Dak was doing his thing in the regular season, they loved Dak at that time. They loved him. Now, yes, he had a horrible game against Green Bay. Horrible game against Green Bay. But Michael Parsons, now, yes, I know his brother was talking about Dak, but how about your brother throw some onus to his brother too? Because his brother didn't do shit either. Nobody from the defensive side of that ball should be talking shit at all. Because Green Bay damn near lit y'all up like a Christmas tree. They damn near scored 50 on y'all. But real talk though, in all seriousness, I'm going to give y'all prime examples. Remember when Lonzo Ball was with the Lakers? And he was so critical of Luke Walton when he was the head coach. And then LaVar Ball will go in his tirade and talk about Luke Walton as a coach. Where do you think he was getting that information from? Even if LaVar Ball felt that way, who did they automatically assume was feeding him that information? Lonzo Ball. A few years ago, or maybe it was last year, Matthew Stafford's wife was crucial about what was going on with the Rams. So she went on her talk show or her podcast. She went on her podcast and spilled some shit out. Who did you think they're going to put the onus on? They're going to put the blame on Matthew Stafford. Like, yo, you pillow talking with your wife? Like, this is what we doing? Even though she might have had her own opinion, when your family member gets involved in team business, they're automatically going to assume that said player said something. It's just the way it is. And then in this situation, you have a receiver's mom and a linebacker's brother spilling their grievances on social media about Dak Prescott. Now, yes, Dak Prescott's brother said he wished that he can get Dak out of Dallas. He said he wished he could. But Dak loves it in Dallas. He does. He loves it in Dallas. He wants to get Dallas a championship. That's never going to happen, but, you know that's what he wants to do. But unfortunately, in this case, you have family members going on social media belittling your team's quarterback. Now, I'm not excusing Dak at all. Again, he had a bad game against Green Bay. threw two interceptions. One of them happened to be a pick off, a pick six. But we cut in the defense some slack here. Michael Parsons, every playoff game that you have been in since you've been in the league, you've disappeared in. But see, I blame the Stephen A's of the world for that. Because they're so quick to label you the second coming of Lawrence Taylor. You're nowhere near Lawrence Taylor. And I wish people would stop doing that shit. Let these players be great on their own as opposed to crowning them and comparing them to a legend. He's nowhere near Lawrence Taylor. Because guess what? Lawrence Taylor didn't disappear in playoff games. We know he didn't disappear in regular season games. He damn sure didn't disappear in playoff games like Michael Parsons do. If Michael Parsons will put more energy on the field than he does on his podcast every week, maybe Dallas would be heading to the NFC Championship game. Now, again, I'm not defending Dak. But I do think that it's wrong for family members to go to social media and talk shit about Dak. Because I'm sure y'all was loving him during the season. I'm sure y'all was. When Dak was looking like he might be in the MVP conversation, I'm sure y'all was loving him then. So why wait to the game where he screws up and then now y'all want to talk shit about him on social media? That's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. But I'm not going to say I feel bad about the drama in Dallas. I actually love it. I'm all for the drama. All for it. But hey, it is what it is, right? It is what it is. Now let's get to some NBA talk. Let's get into some NBA talk, shall we? And this one I'm gonna cook up. Like I'm gonna really cook up with this one. But do I speak about the Doc Rivers one first, or do I speak about the KD one? I want to speak about the Doc Rivers one first, because I'm not gonna lie to y'all. That shit irks my soul. Like it does. It really irks my soul. Okay, let's get to it, shall we? Milwaukee right now is currently 30-13. They're in second place in the Eastern Conference. And they decided to fire their head coach. I think his name is Adrian Griffin. And with all the reports that are going around now, it's looking like Doc Rivers is going to be that replacement. Now, there have been rumors already with this Milwaukee team that Adrian Griffin just might not be the guy to coach this team in the long run. So those rumors were already out already. We also know that this is a player-driven league. And if your players, your star players, are vocal about a coach not being that guy, they're going to get that coach out of here. So this might be a case where Dame and Giannis basically said that they want him gone. This just might be the case. Now they decide to go after Doc Rivers. Let me tell y'all something. They are really soaking in this one championship this man got. They really are. Now, I'll say it. There's going to be some people out there that don't say it, but I'm going to say it. Doc Rivers is overrated as a head coach. He is. Okay? Let's just call it what it is. This man won a championship 16 years ago. 2008. We are now in 2024. In 4 years, that will make it 20 years since he's won his last championship.
And they are going, they are soaking in that one championship to the point where he could get a head coaching job coaching the Milwaukee Bucks. I think it's an absolute joke. I honestly do. But again, we all should have seen the writing on the wall. Because he got the ESPN job after being let go by Philly. We all knew that if there was a team out there, at least that was a top contending team in the East or the West, if they had any coaching change, Doc was going to be the one to get the job. But me personally, I think this is an absolute joke. I honestly think that, first of all, Milwaukee, you let Coach Bud go after just a few years ago taking y'all to the NBA championship, right? Then you let Adrian Griffin go after being 30-13, second place in the Eastern Conference. The only other coach that I could think of that got the axe after having that type of season in the first part of the season was David Blatt in Cleveland. But we all know who got rid of him, and we don't need to get into his name, LeBron. But, yeah, you get what I'm saying? Then you bring in Doc Rivers as your head coach. See, me, I'm all about updating your resume, right? I'm all about updating your resume. That's, you know, that's the shit that you hear in the sports world. You got to update your resume. What have you done for me lately, right? But let me tell you what Doc Rivers has done since that almost 20 year ago championship ring. He's choked in the playoffs. That's what he's done. Okay? We're talking about a coach who, I want to say a good 3 or 4 times, has choked up a 3-game to whatever lead in the playoffs and lost that series. Now, I know he had one of those in Orlando. See, for those of y'all that don't know, his first stint was with Orlando. He had a 3-1 lead somewhere in his stint with Orlando and choked it away. Okay. He wins a championship in 2008 with Boston. And then after that, I want to say a good 2 or 3 times, including last year with Philly, he had a 3-game-to-whatever lead, and he choked it away. Now, again, I'm about updating your resume. What have you done for me lately? These are the things that Doc Rivers has done since that last championship 6 years ago, and he could just automatically get a job like that? You motherfuckers is really riding off of that one championship that was almost 20 years ago. This shit is hilarious to me. There's plenty of other coaches that I think could have been the head coach of this Milwaukee team. I know one in particular, but unfortunately, he's being blackballed, and that's Mark Jackson. To be quite honest with you, I'm going to keep it all the way 100. I'm going to throw my girl Becky Hammon in this. I'd rather have her as my coach than some fucking Doc Rivers. Because at least with her, we talking about updating resumes, right? Well, guess what she has done in her first 2 seasons in Vegas? Take the Aces to the championship and go back to back. I'd rather have her as a head coach than Doc Rivers at this point. The man is overrated as a head coach. I remember they tried to throw him in that convo with the Coach Pops and the Eric Spoelstras. My dude, just because you got one ring don't make you great. Okay? Is he a leader of men? Yes, I'll give him that. I'm not going to sit here and say he's not a leader of men. But again, we as sport fans and people in media, we crown people great. We throw that word great around too freely. Doc Rivers is not a great coach. He's a great leader of men. He's not a great coach. And I just gave you the reasons on why he's not. Is he a good coach? Yes. Is he a decent coach? Yes. Could he be a player coach? Yes. Is he a great coach? Hell fucking no. Hell No. No, absolutely not. I told y'all, man, they are riding off of this one championship, man. I'm telling you, this shit is comical to me. It's comical to me. Mark Jackson can't get a job to save his life. But this one can? Off of one championship that he won 16 years ago? Jeff Van Gundy can't get a job. He can't get a coaching job, but Doc Rivers can? Come on, man. What we doing here, man? I tell you what. Milwaukee better win now. They better win now. Now that you done made this move, now that you done made this hire before the All-Star break, Milwaukee better win the championship now. They better win. I still don't think they're better than Boston. And I said that before the season started. Even when they acquired Dame, I still said Boston was still the head honcho in the Eastern Conference. Still. And I still believe that. Still believe that. Even with them bringing in Doc Rivers as their head coach. Because again, history has shown us that when come playoff time, if Doc Rivers has a 3-game-to-whatever lead, he'll choke it away. So what makes me think that if he won't have a 3-to-something lead with this Milwaukee constructed team, what leads me to think that he won't choke this shit away? Only time will tell. But I think this is a laughable hire. I honestly do. Me personally, I think they should have just stuck with Adrian Griffin. Should have just stuck with him for this season. And then if you want to bring somebody in, bring him in for next season. The dude was 30-13. Y'all what, 3 games behind Boston for first place? Y'all acting like y'all the 6th or 7th seed or some shit. Y'all acting like y'all in the play-in. Y'all are exactly where I expected y'all to be. 2nd place. And then you bring in Doc Rivers. Man, come on. Give me a fucking break. Give me a break. Give me a break. But now let's get to some KD talk. Let's get to some KD talk, shall we? Now, I posted a video on my TikTok. Dre85, if you want to check your boy out. And Kevin Durant believes that he should be in the GOAT conversation. Kevin Durant says that he feels like he should be in the GOAT conversation. That's what he said. When I read it, I thought it was comical. I really did. I really thought that it was comical. I really thought it was comical. He said, because I went to the Warriors? Why shouldn't I be in that? That's the question you should ask. Why not? What haven't I done? Well, I'm going to tell you exactly. Well, see, I'm going to get in more depth to what I said in my TikTok video. Because, you know, in your TikTok video, you probably only got a minute to say your piece. Well, see, here, I got more than a minute. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to tell you what you haven't done. What you haven't done is go to a team and lead them to an NBA championship. Now, yes, he is a 2-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. He is a 2-time MVP with the Golden State Warriors. I'm going to say this again. He is a 2-time champion with the Golden State Warriors. He is a 2-time finals MVP with the Golden State Warriors. But guess what he also did? You already went to a stacked team to win that championship. So you get no credit for that over here. You really don't. You honestly don't. Not in my world, you don't. Now, had you got OKC a championship when it was constructed the way it was back in the day
with you, Westbrook and Harden and Serge Ibaka, had you somewhat led that team to a championship, maybe you might have been in that conversation. Or maybe, just maybe, you know, remember when you had that stint with us in Brooklyn? You know, you, Kyrie, James Harden, had that drama never took place and the expectations would have been exceeded and you would have brought a championship to Brooklyn, maybe you would have been in that conversation, right? But what did you do? You wanted out of Brooklyn. Now you're in Phoenix. Now, if you can somehow get Phoenix to a championship, multiple championships, because you can't just win one and think you win the conversation. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to win multiple championships. You got two in Golden State, right? Well, guess what? You got to get multiple in Phoenix. You got to get multiple championships in Phoenix, multiple finals MVPs in Phoenix to even try to be in that GOAT conversation. Because I'm going to keep it all the way funky. Steph Curry belongs in the GOAT conversation more than him. Now, they could be in the conversation, yes. You know when you got that long table at your family's house and you all sit at the table, you know what I'm saying? They could be on the corners of the table. They're not the head of the table. The head of the table is Michael Jeffrey Jordan. You could be in the GOAT conversation, yes. You could be in the conversation, but you won't be in the head of the table, though. But for me, honestly, I honestly believe that there are only four players. In fact, five. Five players. I think five players deserve to be at that GOAT table. Now, obviously, I believe Michael Jordan is the undisputed GOAT. But I wouldn't argue if somebody thought Kareem was. I wouldn't argue if somebody thought Kobe was. God bless the dead. I wouldn't argue. Of course, there's some that think LeBron is the GOAT. Yes. And I wouldn't argue if somebody thought Magic was. So those five names right there, I wouldn't mind if somebody thought. Well, I mean, y'all know where I stand. I think Jordan is. Now, the other four names I just mentioned, I wouldn't argue with somebody that thought they was the GOAT. But KD, no. You can't be in that GOAT conversation. I'm sorry. You just can't. You lost that credibility when you went to Golden State. Sorry, but not sorry. You played them in the playoffs, had a 3-1 lead, lost to them, then joined them. You took the easy route to get your two championships. Yes, you was finals MVP. We give you credit for that. But we do not forget that you was up 3-1 and then you joined them. And then you wanted your way out of Brooklyn. You bitched your way out of Brooklyn. You bitched your way out of Brooklyn. GOATs don't do that. GOATs just don't do that. And now you're in Phoenix. Let's see if you win some championships in Phoenix. If you can win some championships in Phoenix, then maybe you could somehow be in that conversation, but I don't think that you are. Honestly, I don't think that you are. You are a great player. Absolutely. You are definitely one of the greatest players that this game has ever seen. You are an offensive force. But to say you're in the GOAT conversation, nah, I don't think you are. I do not think that you are. Sorry, but not sorry. And there you have it. There you have it. Now, that's just my talk for this episode. You know what I'm saying? It's a wrap for this episode. But of course, I got to give some shout outs out. I just have to do it. I have to shout out Stanford head coach, Tara Van Devere. She is now the winningest head coach in college basketball history. She just broke Coach K's record this past weekend. So congratulations to her on that. When you think of Mount Rushmore's of women's basketball head coaches, I believe she's on that Mount Rushmore. Geno, Pat Summitt, Tara Vanderveer. I'm trying to think of who that fourth coach could be. Because those are the three for sure. The fourth coach, I'm not sure. But those first three I just mentioned, Geno, Pat Summitt, and Vanderveer, yes, they are on that Mount Rushmore. So, yes, congratulations to Coach Vanderveer on being the all-time leader in wins in college basketball history, male or female. Male or female. So congratulations to you on that, Coach. And then my other congratulations, my other shout out would be to the new selection, the new Hall of Famers, you can say, for Major League Baseball. And that would be Adrian Beltre, Joe Mauer, and Todd Helton. All of them exceeded the 75% vote required from Baseball Writers Association of America to get into Cooperstown, which is the Hall of Fame. So congratulations to those three guys. And I think all three of them is very well deserving. Like, this is not a case where two of them deserve to get in, but one doesn't. Oh no, all three of them deserve to get in. All three of them. I'm still upset that Gary Sheffield hasn't gotten in yet. I'm still disappointed. Listen, how Andrew Jones didn't make this class? That's what I'm trying to figure out. How he didn't get in this class. Andrew Jones deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Listen, for sure he deserves to get in. I honestly think that more people should have gotten in. But again, rules is rules. In order for you to get in, you have to get at least 75% of the vote. Adrian Beltre got 95% of the vote. Todd Helton got close to 80%, and Joe Mauer just hit the mark at 76%. Sheffield got 63%, and Andrew Jones got 61%. That's bullshit, man. I honestly think Andrew Jones should get in, and Sheffield as well. So I think it's a joke that they haven't gotten in yet. Now, I don't know how much years of eligibility they got left, but before their time is up, they need to get in. But again, congratulations to Adrian Beltre, Todd Helton, and Joe Mauer for making the Hall of Fame. Congratulations to them for sure, for sure. So yes, it's a wrap for this episode. I want to thank everybody for their continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Y'all already know where y'all can find me. I am on Apple Podcasts. I was going to say Google Podcasts, but they're about to be no more. So Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, if I didn't say Spotify, those are the platforms, the streaming platforms where the podcast is on. Y'all can also find me on Facebook, Dre Day. Y'all can find me on Instagram, Dre Day 1985, or Sportswear with Dre Day Podcast. The link is in the bio. And you can also find me on X, Dre Day 1985. The link is in the bio as well. So once again, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going, keep it flowing. Oh yeah, hold up. Two more shout outs. I gotta speak on these. Shout out to Joel Embiid. My man put on a 70-point game. Now, unfortunately, he did it against my Spurs. He wanted to give Victor Wembanyama his welcome to the NBA moment, and he did. 70 points against the Spurs. 70. Damn. Let's just give Embiid the MVP now. Now, remember, Jokic won the MVP back-to-back years, right? It's looking like Joel Embiid is about to go back-to-back as well. If he keeps going the way he's going now, he might go back-to-back. He just might. And Cat. Gotta go to Karl Anthony Towns. Shout out to Karl Anthony Towns because my man put on a 60-point game. 60-plus, for that matter. 60-plus. So, shout out to y'all guys, because that's wonderful. That's beautiful. That's monumental. Career highs, you can say. So, congrats to y'all for that. So, yes, I'm shouting y'all out as well. So, yes, thank y'all for y'all continued support. Keep it going. Keep it flowing. In closing, y'all know how this goes. This has been another episode of Sports Way with Dre Day Podcast. Episode 319 is done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here. Peace. What up? What up? What up? Listen, y'all already know I usually do some bonus stuff that came out after I record the new episode. Well, there's two new things that I wanted to speak about that I didn't want to leave out for the next episode. I want to put it on this one so you can consider this some bonus content. You understand what I'm saying? And one of the bonus contents is Jim Harbaugh. That's right, Jim Harbaugh. Yes, former Michigan head coach. That's right, I said former Michigan head coach because it was announced on ESPN that he is leaving Michigan to come back to the NFL and coach the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, I know a few months ago, not even a few months ago, probably a few weeks ago, when Brandon Staley got fired, my initial reaction was Coach Belichick. That was my initial reaction. I say Coach Belichick will be done with New England and he will make his way to Los Angeles. That was my initial reaction. Once the rumors circulated that Jim Harbaugh might be coming back to the NFL, he initially crossed my mind as it pertains to being that head coach for Los Angeles Chargers, because I'm looking at it from the perspective of you have a young quarterback in Justin Herbert. Not to say that Coach Belichick can't nourish him, but then, of course, you have L.A. That's the bright lights in L.A. You're going to need a coach that is full of life, full of energy, charismatic. Jim Harbaugh fits the bill for all of those things. Coach Belichick just doesn't. You know, Coach Belichick is so stoic, very private. He doesn't really say much in press conferences and shit like that. So for me, once I heard that he was coming back to the NFL or flirting with the idea of coming back to the NFL, I said, okay, that Charger job is where he's going to go. And it was just announced that he is now coming to the Chargers on a five-year deal. A five-year deal. He has agreed to a five-year term with the Los Angeles Chargers. And I honestly think that this is going to be dope. I honestly do. And this is the second time he's actually going somewhere where he, well, He went to Michigan. That's his alma mater. He used to play for the Chargers as well when he played in the NFL. So it's fitting that now he goes to coach a team that he used to play for as well. So it's going, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with Jim Harbaugh now that he's going back to the NFL. Now, we all remember what he did with the Niners. You know, he was the one that gave Colin Kaepernick his shot. Alex Smith, who was a good quarterback, and on top of that, led the Niners to a good record. But Jim Harbaugh felt that Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback that can get them to that next level, which will be a Super Bowl. Now, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they damn sure got there with Colin Kaepernick, even though they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. So, we got to give him that. And for him to now leave Michigan and come back to the NFL, there's only one thing left for him to do, and that's to try to win a professional championship, a.k.a. Super Bowl, because at the end of the day, he did what he was supposed to do at Michigan. Now, it might have took time, but he did it. You know, he spent all those years coaching at Michigan. When you coach at Michigan, especially at that time, there are only two objectives. Win a national championship, beat Ohio State. Now, for the past 3 years, I believe he's beaten Ohio State. He just checked the box of winning the national championship. So, there's nothing else left to prove. And then to add insult to injury, you beat St. Nick in the national semifinals and basically had beat him his last game, his final game. So, you take that into accord, it's going to be very dope to see what he does with this Chargers team, because best believe they have a squad. Now, can they stay healthy? That's going to be the key. Justin Herbert, promising quarterback. Can he stay healthy? The Chargers got a nice running game. They definitely got a nice receiving core. Their defense could be dope. Their defense could be dope. You know, with Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa, that defense could definitely turn into something. And now, with Jim Harbaugh there, only time will tell. Now, I'm interested to see what happens in the foreseeable future, because it's looking like the Chiefs is going to have some competition in that division now. Some serious competition. Because, let's be real, when Brandon Staley was the coach for the Chargers, nobody really took them seriously. We thought they were formidable opponents for the Chiefs. But nobody really thought of them as a threat. You're going to be thinking of the Chargers as a threat now with Jim Harbaugh as your head coach. So, kudos to him for that. I can't wait to see what he does with that team. It's going to be interesting. It's definitely going to be interesting to see. And now, my last bit of bonus content. Some WNBA talk. Y'all know how I love the WNBA. Y'all know how much I love my girls. Los Angeles Sparks great, Nneka Nwumike. Well, first of all, let me just put everything in the vacuum. WNBA free agency probably started, I want to say, either Monday or Tuesday that free agency started. Nneka Nwumike, who has spent her whole career with the Los Angeles Sparks, notified them and let them know that she intends to leave in free agency. She even posted on IG thanking LA and thanking the Sparks. So usually when you do shit like that, that means you're leaving. That means that you're leaving. So now the question is, where does she go? Now, there have been reports that she visited Chicago with the Chicago Sky. And for those of y'all that don't know who's coaching over there now, that would be the great Teresa Weatherspoon, okay? Listen, Phoenix might be a good fit for her. Chicago might be a good fit for her. Hell, I wouldn't mind her coming to New York. That's only if the Liberty don't acquire Stewie or Jonquel Jones. But I honestly think that those two are going to resign. You can't have the year that you had with the Liberty last year and then leave after 1 year. I don't see that happening. With that nucleus of Sabrina Ionescu, Laney, Stewie, and Jones, you don't break that up. You honestly do not break that up. So I definitely believe that Jones and Stewie, who are unrestricted free agents, I do believe that they're both, in my honest opinion, this is not anything that I've heard, I truly believe that they're going to come back to the Liberty. But again, NECA went to Twitter, well, went to X and IG, and said, thank you, LA. I hope it's not goodbye, but see you later. So listen, she's taking meetings with the Dream. That's a young nucleus, very young, very young. Phoenix Mercury, Chicago Sky. She also intends to meet with the Seattle Storm. That'd be a dope look for the Storm, because the Storm is going to get a top pick in the WNBA draft. You got the Gold Mamba, Joy Lloyd there. You add NECA to that, you might be cooking with something in Seattle. And then, of course, the New York Liberty. So those are the teams that she's taking meetings with. Now, Phoenix, they also have a top pick. They actually, I believe, they have a top three pick, if I'm not mistaken. I actually believe, I know Indiana has the number one pick. I think Los Angeles has the second pick. Indiana has number one. I think LA has number two. I think Phoenix has three. Yeah, Phoenix has three. Phoenix has either two or three, that's for sure. Because if Paige Beckers is leaving, if she leaves UConn, she's definitely going to Phoenix for all intended purposes. So this Phoenix team could really do some shit if you add NECA. Because Brittany Griner, she's a unrestricted free agent, but honestly, I honestly believe that Brittany is staying. It's self-explanatory. With the whole ordeal that she did in Russia for the Mercury to be so supportive of her, bring her back and all this other stuff, I honestly believe that she's staying with the Mercury. So let's just do the hypothetical. You keep Brittany Griner. Diana Taurasi ain't going anywhere. You're getting a top pick in the WNBA draft. Chances are it might be Paige Beckers. And then you add NECA to that, with already a decent supporting cast with Phoenix, with Sophie Cunningham. Phoenix might be on to something. Again, this is just assumption. This is just a fan from the outside looking in. This is not anything that I know. This is not anything that, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't know no inside news or anything. This is just me assuming. But out of all these teams that NECA could possibly go to, the two teams that I could definitely see her going to, in my honest opinion, is the Liberty, only if they don't bring back Stewie and Jonquel Jones, but I honestly think that they will. So I think out of all these teams, I think the fitting team for her to go to would be Phoenix or Chicago. That's my honest opinion. That's my honest opinion. So this is the bonus content for episode 319. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Episode 319 is fully done. Catch y'all on the flip side. God bless. Peace and love. Your boy is out of here.
What up, what up, what up? It's your man Dre Day, and I have a PSA announcement for y'all. Did y'all know that only 38% of African Americans were able to identify financial terms on the PFN index, an annual financial survey. Why is that? Because we're never given the tools to succeed in the financial sector. Will with American Classic Agency has been designing financial maps for his clients to succeed for over a decade for clients on both coasts. With Will, you will be able to create a game plan to get out of debt and create the wealth that you and your family deserve. If you're interested, please contact Will at willspady@gmail.com. That's willspady@gmail.com. Or call him at 443-810-0384.